Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy show. I'm your host, Yvonne Brown, coming to you live from Chicago, Illinois, as I usually do every second Saturday of the month at 2 p.m. Central Time. Find Yourself, Live Your Dreams, and Be Happy is an interactive live internet talk radio show that focuses on how to take advantage of the opportunities that life sends your way. The program explores obstacles overcome by ordinary people with extraordinary results and what inspires or motivates them to take positive actions that make their dreams a reality. I know a little about that myself, as I've had 10 careers. My first career after arriving in the United States from Jamaica was as a fashion model. Then I was a singer on the MCA label, a corporate consultant for Accenture, and today I am a professional speaker and trainer, author, blogger, certified professional coach, leadership and confidence coach for Forbes Coaches Council, a certified John Maxwell coach, and a radio show host. So let's set the tone for today's show. The quality of a leader is not reflected in the standards they set for themselves. Ultimately, leadership is not about glorious crowning acts. It's about keeping your team focused on a goal and motivated to do their best to achieve it, especially when the stakes are high and the consequences really matter. Ray Kroc said that. And by the way, John Maxwell said that if you're leading and you look behind you and nobody is following you, you're just going for a walk.
Today's show is brought to you by JAD Communications International. They specialize in personal development, coaching, and training. JAD Communications focuses on improving communications, managing people and expectations, increasing interpersonal skills, promoting respectful communications, and conflict resolution. Visit them online at www.jadcommunications.com and use the contact page to request more information.
We have a fantastic show for you today. Joining us later will be Dr. Joseph Fleischman, who will be taking your calls and questions, so be sure to call us at 646-381-4198. And by the way, if you're listening online and you decide to give us a call, please mute your computer first. Today's show is titled, It's a Whole New Kind of Workforce Requiring a Whole New Kind of Leader, a Covalent Leader. Leadership in America today is horribly broken. The generation gap between management and the workforce continues to widen, leaving the next generation of individuals entering the workforce feeling more disenfranchised, marginalized, and uninspired than ever before. The world is getting smaller. Business is becoming more competitive. Markets are more volatile, and innovation is happening at the speed of light. Tomorrow's workforce is looking for and requires a new type of leader, a covalent leader, someone who possesses the skills and knowledge to engage, inspire, and empower others. Now is the time for future leaders to step up to the plate and develop the skills necessary to actively engage the next highly educated, intelligent, empowered, and impatient generation as they prepare to enter the workforce. In a world that is constantly changing, today's leaders have a simple decision to make: change or die. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest, Dr. Joseph Fleischman. He is a statistician and researcher who served as a director of institution research at Mojave Community College for 5 years. He worked for 21 years in higher education, partnering with business and industry in developing hands-on, relevant, industry-based vocational training programs. Dr. Fleischman is the author of 6 books, including Covalent Leadership, Driving Innovation, and Death by Leadership, which is coming soon. He is also the author and illustrator of children's books, The Adventure of Natalie, an Undersea Adventure, and The Adventure of Natalie on Safari. His area of expertise is in leading effective change management. Welcome to the show, Dr. Fleischman.
Hello, Yvonne. It is a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. Now, the first thing I want to find out from you, and I'm sure lots of our listeners are wondering, since you're the author of Covalent Leadership, what exactly is covalent leadership?
Well, the process of covalent bonding is the process of formation, and covalent leadership is the process of forming highly effective, dynamic organizations. It is the process of making it personal, of building those relationships that power and drive an organization forward. That's what a covalent leader does. In a nutshell, a covalent leader excels at engaging, inspiring and empowering others.
Absolutely. Now, in your book, Covalent Leadership, you talk about the Godfather leadership philosophy. What is that exactly, and why do many leaders seem to embrace it?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I worked with a gentleman who told me everything I know about leadership I learned from Michael Corleone. And I think that's very much the case for a lot of leaders in business and industry today because they've watched The Godfather. And, of course, the principles of The Godfather were based on Machiavellian leadership philosophy, which basically said, it's okay for a leader to do anything, fear, threat, and intimidation. Whatever it takes for a leader to stay in power is justified. And you see a lot of that Machiavellian theory and thought in The Godfather. In fact, I look at, we've been able to, there's a lot of work on identifying the Godfather leadership characteristics. And I have a list of them, and I think people will go, I see that. It starts with hubris. Godfather leaders are very hubris, right? And they're always looking for more. They want to own all of the market or make all of the money. It's always about them. That's what it, I mean. It's always about the Godfather. Mm-hmm. There's avarice.
Yep.
In that the organization can never have enough. It can never be too powerful. There's certainly duplicity. And I love that line in The Godfather where he says, never tell anyone what you're thinking. That's duplicity.
Yeah.
And it makes having a meaningful, open, honest, transparent relationship with people impossible if you're if you're practicing duplicity. A typical Godfather leader is cunning. They never tell anyone what they're doing or where they're going or what their real agenda is. They're very narcissistic. They don't want to look weak. They want to be the strongest person in the room all the time. A Godfather leader is very deceptive. They're very calculating and they're dismissive of anyone who thinks differently than they do. They're incredibly manipulative. So they're unpredictable and worse. They practice situational ethics, you know, and they say a line that is what I call the great lie, and that is the great lie is it's not personal, it's just business. Because if you believe that, then you can do anything you want to anyone as long as you benefit financially. You can lie to them. You can steal from them. You can abuse them. You can harass them because it's not personal. It's just business. And if it makes money, it's justified. So that's the big lie. It means that no matter who you are or how hard you work or whatever your contributions are, it means nothing to me if it's just business. And they're unteachable. They never learn from their mistakes. So those are the typical Godfather leadership characteristics. And we see them in industry today. We see them in leaders today, and it's prevalent. And I can give you a great example if you'd like one.
I'd love one.
Wells Fargo. If we look at Wells Fargo and we look at the CEO, John Stumpf of Wells Fargo, for those of you who weren't following, Wells Fargo created what they said were approximately 2 million fake accounts, where they just used 5,300 employees that Wells Fargo fired in the process, created fake users' accounts, and they transferred their clients' money into those accounts without their clients knowing, so that they could build a number of accounts, which would in turn make them the largest financial institution, which would increase their stock value. And we later found out that that number wasn't 2 million. It appears to be somewhere in the realm of about 3.8 million. You followed this scandal?
Yes, I was following
If we look at it, let's look at this one example and see how many of the Godfather leadership characteristics existed within this organizational culture. Was there hubris?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was absolutely there. It was all about Wells Fargo. It was all about the leaders having the largest organization. It was all about the leaders positioning themselves so they could get bigger bonuses. Lots of hubris. Tremendous avarice in the organization. right? The whole thing was based on increasing market share, was it not?
Right? Yes, it was.
Duplicity. Good. Can you see duplicity firing in the Wells Fargo culture during this whole scandal?
Oh, the whole thing is duplicity.
Right. And how? Where do you see the duplicity in this scandal?
Well, because they're showing you one thing and they're really doing something else.
Right. And they're not transparent at all in it, are they?
How can they be?
They were.
They couldn't be.
They were very cunning in everything they did. They made sure nobody knew. They made sure the left hand didn't know what the right hand was doing, or at least they could deny it.
Yeah.
They were incredibly deceptive in all of their business dealings. They were deceptive even when they went to Congress and had to tell Congress what they did. Were they straight up and honest and ethical with Congress?
They're still
they were
lying.
Dismissive. Right. They still are. They were dismissive with the regulatory agencies that came in to try to point anything out. And to employees who called the ethics line and said, hey, wait a minute, this is what's happening. What did they do to those employees? Did they listen or did they dismiss them?
They dismissed them.
Right. They were, as an organization, the culture of Wells Fargo was incredibly manipulative. They practiced situational ethics. Because if the employees didn't do it, what happened to them?
They're fired.
What if the mid-level management didn't implement what the higher-level management wanted to have happen? What happened to them?
They'd be fired because they'd made their mind up what they were going to accomplish.
Right. So when we look at Wells Fargo, we can see that Godfather leadership mentality prevalent within that culture, actually defining the Wells Fargo culture. And what that reminds us is that when leaders fail, bad things happen. And Wells Fargo is an enormous company. So this is happening in many of our industries. Look at just what's happening with the entertainment sector today. Do we see any type of Godfather leadership characteristics within the entertainment sector that we're listening to in the news today?
Oh, absolutely. It's all there, yes. And it's I dare say it's across many industries.
That's right. And that's why, my contention is that leadership in America today is horribly broken because the Godfather leadership is the dominant leadership philosophy in industry today. And it's based on the very works of our leader management management leadership theory of 1910, the Max Weber, the Henry Fayol, those type of leaders. And that's where we are today, and that's what's frustrating a generation next, that next generation of worker entering the workforce. They don't want it.
They don't. Now, I have a question, quickly. What are the differences between covalent leaders and a typical leader in business and industry today?
Right. The typical functions of leadership, if you go into a college and university today and you're in an MBA program, they're gonna give you a very traditional Max Weber 1910 mentality. The functions of leadership are still perceived as planning, organizing, commanding, coordinating, and controlling. That's what a traditional leader is taught to do today. So, Yvonne, let me ask you a question. How do you feel if I were to tell you I'm going to put a leader over you today, a manager over you today, and their job is to give you commands all day long? How would that make you feel?
I'm not doing it.
No.
It would make me feel like they don't trust me or believe in me or think I have any intelligence or skills or anything.
Right. So if we look at that very typical role, if we look at that role and I said, Yvonne, another thing that leader is going to do for you is they're going to control everything you do and everything you say. How does that make you feel?
No, I'm not doing it. Those days are over.
Right. They should be over. Unfortunately, they're not. But the role of a covalent leader has nothing to do with planning, organizing, commanding, coordinating, and controlling. The role, the function of a covalent leader is simple: to engage, inspire, and empower. Now, which culture would you rather be a part of? A traditional culture where you're told what to do, when to do, and how to do it? Or a culture that engages, inspires, and empowers you? Which one?
Oh, the one that engages and empowers me. Listener, do you have a question for Dr. Fleischman?
Yes, I just came across your show, and he's absolutely accurate. I'm actually a global visionary and a disruptor, and I constantly tell people that companies in the future, unless they are empowering their customers, their employees, being good to the environment, and giving back to the community in ethical, legal, moral, transparent ways, they're not going to be around as the strategies I'm putting out take hold more and more. It's going to plug up the money pipelines to the elites and through transparency go back to them and root out the corruption globally. That we've been in the control, conquer, and divide paradigm since the beginning, but all that is now shifting with new paradigms based on spirituality, unconditional agape love, and creativity. So everybody has unlimited creativity when they have the right kind of heart-to-God connection, and that's what I'm modeling for people. I have had quite a bizarre life. I'd like to speak with the doctor sometime just to see what we might do to get some of these things flowing bigger and better throughout the world so that we can, before it blows up from these egomaniacs with their finger on the button, because the chaos is what the elites thrive on, but through the type of leadership that he's talking about, all that can change very quickly. As long as the internet is up, we can come together and empower each other very quickly.
Well, what you said is quite true, and as far as connecting with Dr. Fleischman, at the end of the program, we're going to give you his website, and you can go there and contact him through that. Will that help?
Well, I don't do email, so if he has a phone number on it, that's great. Otherwise, if you can share my number with him, and for your listeners,
well,
if you don't...
I think he has his phone number on it, so I'll have him share that at the end of the program, just in case. Okay.
All right.
And thank you
for your listeners, if I can share my name, it might be interesting because I actually share common background with the president, but I'm not into the ego like his, and my last name has global recognition. I'm also a former whistleblower, too.
Okay. And so what is the name you want to share with us?
Hugh, H-U-G-H. The last name, Paulson, is spelled T like Tom, R-A-U-L-S-E-N like Nancy. If you put it on YouTube, you'll even hear me speaking with Maya Angelou about a poem I authored that's in the President Ronald Reagan Library.
Okay, wonderful. Well, we'll connect with you after the show. And thank you very much for sharing.
Thank you. I'll just continue listening. And then, again, I want to compliment him because this is what not only America but the world needs to understand what he's talking about.
Absolutely. That's why we have him as a guest on the show. So, Dr. Fleischman, back to you. What, in your book, Covalent Leadership, you say that leadership in America is horribly broken. Why is it broken, and can it be fixed? That's the big question here.
Well, it can be fixed, and it's broken because we stopped developing in our leaders. We stopped developing our leaders. We've not moved away from that scientific management theory of 1910. We have not embraced the fact that the workforce of today is incredibly intelligent. The workforce of today is far more skilled and intelligent than many of the individuals who are responsible for leading them. And that's a challenge because our leadership hasn't stayed as current with the technologies, with our knowledge, and they're really using their positional authority within the organization to keep everyone controlled. But let me take a answer the question about can we solve it, yes. But I want to dive into a sample linear regression for a minute and see what that has to do with solving this problem. So, Yvonne, if you'll work with me for a minute, I want to put you in a situation and you tell me your thoughts on this. Let's suppose that you and I, we go on an African safari. And on this safari, we decide that one night, you decide that you're going to leave and go see, find the lions, find a live lion out on the savannah. So you walk out in your track shoes, and you're a pretty good runner. You run about a five-minute mile. You're in shape. You're good for 3 or 4 miles, and you're carrying a big walking stick. And as you walk out there, about a mile away from the house, you run into a lion standing right on the road about 15 feet away from you. What do you think your chances of getting out of that situation alive are?
None. I'm alone, I'm in track shoes, and I got a stick. And I'm in his territory.
Yeah, it's not real good, is it?
I can try and escape, but I don't think I'll win.
Yeah. So let's put another scenario on this. Tonight, this next time you're going out and you're walking down same road, you got your track shoes on, you got a big stick, and as you go out, suddenly you're about a mile away and it's getting dark and you look up, and there, 15 feet away, are two very hungry lions.
Oh, dear.
What do you think chances are of getting away worse or better than when there was just one?
Oh, they're worse for sure. They're going to double team me.
Yeah. It's not looking good, right? It's
no
definitely
way.
Worse than just
yeah.
when you had one. So let's suppose that same scenario happens, only this time when you go out, you run across not one, not two, but there are 10 lions surrounding you. Are you going to get out of that situation alive?
Nah. I'm not going to let – I won't even get to run far. I won't get to run. I'm done for.
Right. So if we reduce that variable and only had 9 lions, does it change the outcome?
No.
And that's really what linear regression tells us. It tells us that there reaches a point in an organization when there are so many things going wrong that one more doesn't make a difference. So let's go back to our example of Wells Fargo. In Wells Fargo, there was we're going to now, instead of calling these Godfather leadership characteristics, let's think of them in terms of a malignant behavior, malignant the way cancer works, right? What happens
yeah.
to a healthy organization when a cancer cell is introduced into it?
Oh.
Ultimately, it'll kill that organization, but it may take time.
Yeah.
But ultimately, what's that single cancer cell going to do?
Replicate.
It's going to, yeah. It's going to grow and replicate, and then
yeah.
slow. It's going to take over the body, and then as it grows, it's going to grow exponentially, and it's move faster and faster. And we think of those as a malignant behavior. So let's look at
okay.
leadership. In terms of malignant behaviors, Chris, what John Stumpf for CEO, when he introduced hubris into the organization, he introduced a malignant behavior. When he added avarice to that organization, what happened to the health of that organization?
Oh, yeah. It got
Vince?
Worse. Yeah.
Right. So once he introduced the additional malignant behavior of duplicity, and then he brought cunning, and he introduced deception and dismissiveness and manipulation and situational ethics, and he brought all of those leadership behaviors, those cancerous leadership characteristics into the organization, he doomed that organization to fail.
Absolutely.
So the key, yeah, the key is to make sure that you never introduce yourself to that first lion to make sure that you keep the first malignancy from ever getting into your organization. And instead of introducing malignant leadership characteristics, you introduce covalent leadership characteristics, the kind of characteristics that engage and empower others. So you introduce a culture of shared vision. You introduce a culture that is relationship-driven, where you know everyone in your organization. You can leverage their talent. They can leverage yours. You have transparent communication. You introduce ethics in everything you do into the organization. When you look at a malignant leadership, there's no ethics in there. There's none.
No, absolutely not.
It's not founded on ethics. Covalent leadership is fit on ethical behavior in everything we do. You create an organization that empowers the individuals to speak up, to engage, to think. Have you ever known anyone who works for an organization who fears their boss finding out that they made a mistake?
Yes.
Why do they fear being culpable of making a mistake?
Because some bosses don't allow for mistakes, and if you make a mistake, you get punished severely.
Yeah.
And so what happens is, if a person makes a mistake, they hide it.
Right, and that leadership characteristic. And ultimately, it'll kill an organization, maybe not by itself, but when you put enough of those malignant behaviors together, it'll hammer an organization. Just tell TWA or other organizations that no longer exist today, Kodak, for instance. So what you're trying to do is to create a covalent
Enron.
Characteristic.
Enron was like that.
Enron, exactly.
Yeah.
WorldCom. Right? So
WorldCom,
you create an environment where you introduce transparency, where you have your people and all of your people in your organization are data savvy. They know how to read data, discuss, make informed decisions, not political decisions. You create an organization that's team-oriented. You create an organization in which every individual is teachable and every individual is technically competent. Have you ever worked in an organization or worked with an organization where the leadership was not technically competent about the very areas they were responsible?
Actually, you're kind of cutting out here and there, so I don't know if you're moving around, but just want to make you aware of that. Yeah, I have worked in those kinds of organizations, and they fail miserably because the leadership is lacking in the skill set and the integrity that they need to have in order for everyone to share their knowledge within the organization. And they
so
don't
the answer,
understand what's going on.
Right. So the underlying answer to your question of can you is yes, you can. But organizations have to start working with professionals such as yourself or myself. Go in there and teach them how to lead from a covalent perspective and help them develop their skills to be transparent and engaging and ethical and teachable. That's the key. It can happen, and it is happening in select organizations throughout the country. And when it does happen, it's phenomenal. People line up at the door to be a part of it. I know that leadership is broken because there are organizations that cannot hire people quickly enough. They just go through people like a mill. And you have to look at those organizations and say, there's an organization that has a leadership issue, because a failing organization means you have a failing leader. And those same organizations that can't hire fast enough are complaining at the top of their lungs, nobody wants to work for us. And yet at Google, they get over 2 million applicants a year, because Google practices and models covalent leadership. and over 2 million people a year try to be a part of that organization. So you can solve it, but it starts by changing and preparing for a new kind of leader. I didn't lose you, did I? I may have lost her. Hello? Should I hang up and try it again? Maybe I lost her, Dad. Hello, this is Joe Fleischman. Hello? It's not letting me in. Hello, this is Joe Fleischman. Oh, well. Joe Fleischman. Log that away. Let's see. Hello. This is Joe Fleischman. Once you what?
I said, once you get on the line, I'm like, what was the day? Came back into the station. Doing great, by the way.
Oh, thanks. Hello. Well, she has my phone number. She knows how to contact me. Hello.
Hello.